My name is Charlie Rocket, and you're watching The Hollywood Reel with Jay.
Charlie Rocket, man who's on a winning streak every day of his life. Welcome.
Hey, man. Thank you for having me on.
Now that you're here, I feel like I'm on a winning streak.
Hey, let me tell you, anybody who's listening right now, I'm going to bless y'all with the winning streak. Just with my energy, you're going to feel better, and the winning streak is going to continue forever after this.
You are a guy who shows up inspiring people. I love what you do. How do you keep that going every day, that level of energy?
I have bad days. I crash a lot. And it's, all I know is like when I have a vision, I always live at the finish line. That's kind of like my secret. Now, I am in the present too, but you'll hear people say all the time, like, you know, be in the now. But the reality is, like, a lot of the times for most of us, like, the now is like a really shitty place. Like, it's nice being in the now when you're like meditating on a mansion, on a mountain. But like, most of us are going through shitty things. And how I deal with that is to always just find the gratitude in a situation. Like if, for example, I was about to get on the expressway. I was leaving the Dream Factory and I was about to get on the expressway. And I got on the on-ramp. And my first instinct was, there's so much freaking traffic. And then I looked down at my gas gauge and it said I had 2 miles left. Now, if the traffic wasn't so bad, I would have like gone on the ramp, but I was stuck on the ramp. There was so much traffic, I was stuck on the ramp to where it allowed me to actually turn around and go to the gas station. So most times I'd be like, this traffic is a shitty situation, but now it actually turned into a winning streak because it was so much traffic, it allowed me to turn around on the ramp because I was at the base of the ramp. I turned around, went and got gas right before I ran out. To where if there was just a little bit of traffic, I would have been on the expressway. I would have ran out of gas on the expressway. So it's like finding the gratitude in the situation. But really what my superpower is, like living at the finish line, living in the future. I call it futuring. Mm-hmm. Like I try. Like this morning I woke up and I got my coffee. And I was like, okay, I woke up. That's my winning streak. Got my coffee. Now I'm like, I get high on coffee. Like, I don't do drugs, but coffee, I get high. I don't know what happens. I don't know how it happens, but I get so high. And then I was, like, immediately inspired. So I just started driving around Bel Air looking at the mansions. Like, immediately going to the future. So, like, when you're living in the future, your actions today change so much. Because so many times, like, we'll say, you know, if I see it, I'll believe it. But, like, I can see the future by looking at that house. So I can believe it. That person did it. Actually, all these people did it. I could look out this window right here and look at every last one of these people. So I have all the proof in the world that it's got to be pretty easy. Like, there's not one mansion. There's tens of thousands all the way from here to San Diego. So it's got to be easy if that many people can do it. So I'll believe that it's easy. I'll see my future. And then my actions today will be like, okay, what are the things that are actually going to get me everything I want? Because kind of like what my goal in life is, I want to have extreme impact. Like I want to change lives. I want to like create movements that change lives. But like in my essence, I want to live one of the most interesting lives ever lived. That is kind of what I'm seeking. And I just want to see what's possible in this lifetime. And part of that is like this like golden ratio of like the more you give, the more you receive. And like I've always been of servitude. Like when I was 2 Chainz as manager, like this jacket, for example, first time I've worn this jacket since I was in the music industry years ago. But like I was 2 Chainz as manager, Travis Porter, at Cap One, Jose Guapo. And, you know, my company was, you know, established in 2005. But like I was of service to 2 Chainz. Like, it was my job to make his dream come true. Like, that's what a good manager is. Like, what's your dream? All right, I'm going to go make it happen for you. You just keep making music. I'm going to make your dream come true. But, you know, I've received everything I've ever wanted to receive by giving to others. And I'm like, okay, how can I do more?
Well, that's a great point. And you touched on a bunch of things that I want to talk about, you know, manifestation. Mm-hmm. And I want to ask you about kind of the science behind it, the quantum physics behind it. Because I've seen you talk about that before, and it's so powerful. And for the logical brain in us, some of us need to understand what's going, you know, how that really works. Yeah, and it really makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. What is it that drives you every day? Like, where did this start? You didn't wake up, you know, or maybe you did, going, I'm going to make people's dreams come true. I feel like there's a backstory there.
Oh, there's a big backstory. So when I was young, I wanted to be a basketball player. Like, I love basketball. I played more than anybody, but I was overweight, short, slow. But like my dream, I couldn't help that was my dream. Like, I didn't choose it. It chose me. Like, I loved it. I couldn't help it, you know. But I had to bury that dream. And there was this big void in my life. There was this big void in my life when, like, I buried my dream. And you start getting older. And I find a lot of gratitude in the struggle. I find a lot of gratitude in the frustration, because that's where so many gifts come. I was antisocial, extremely antisocial. Never, like in high school, never went to a party. I was popular, but I was afraid to go into worlds like that I couldn't control, like a party or a football game or a basketball game. I was just, it was just very antisocial, like socially awkward, anxiety, like, even when I was in the music industry, going to a nightclub gave me anxiety. And that made me really good at building my own worlds. The people come into my world. So it's like having a weakness can give you your superpower. Like we were saying before we cut on the camera, it was like, you know, I was like, man, you're so fit. And you're like, hey, but you're a Nike athlete. I said, Nike hired me as an athlete, you know, because I am chubby. Like, I was relatable. So sometimes your weaknesses can be a superpower. But what I think unlocks the superpower is the gratitude. Because if you feed your attention into something, it will be defined by you. For example, if I were to walk under a ladder and say, that's bad luck, I'm going to be right. If I walk under a ladder and say, that's good luck, I'm going to be right. We define it. And the same thing with the situation. Situation is not a bad situation until you say it's a bad situation. Situation is just a situation. I can say this bad thing is a good thing. And I will define the bad situation in, you know, normal terms, bad, as a good. Like, traffic, it's a good thing. I quickly go to that winning streak. I quickly go to this, like, delusional optimism. And if you really think about it throughout the day, however many thoughts we have, if we transition from, you know, a kind of a paranoid thought process of, like, the universe is conspiring against me, that's paranoid. Universe is conspiring against me, to a pronoid. The universe is conspiring for me. Like, this bad thing happened for me. It's directing me here. Boom, immediately shift it. What if that happens 1,000 times a day? It's like your entire life changes at that point. Think about it. Let's say you're in Las Vegas with your friend. Both playing slot machines. One's winning, one's losing. Who does everybody gravitate to?
The winner.
The energy is so infectious that when I say, like, gravitate, let's think about it, like gravity. Like, when something is so big, it forms a gravity. But that's also attraction. See what I'm saying? If you're big negative, you're going to big attract. Negative. If you're big winning, you're going to big attract. And that person who's winning in Vegas, laughing, smiling, winning. Now everybody around them is what? Laughing, smiling, and winning. So it can start with the smallest thought, but what happens when that small thought happens 1,000 times throughout the day? That's why I say I'm on a winning streak. Like, I'm here with you right now. It's a blessing. It's a winning streak. I was able to FaceTime my mom this morning. There might be a day where I'm not able to do that. That simplest thing is a winning streak. Everything. Like, I was able to afford gas in L.A. Winning streak. Just because there was a point in my life where I could not afford gas. This is such a win. But, like, I'm tuning my frequency constantly. That creates this gravity that attracts. And then next thing you know, everybody around you is bringing that same energy.
So does it work the other way also? If you put too much energy towards something that is negative or something, I'm not talking about traffic, but, mm-hmm. you know, some tragedy happens, or, you know, you've lost your business, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, politics these days mm-hmm. is a big subject.
Mm-hmm.
If you put too much energy towards that, what I'm hearing from you is that you're really just feeding that machine mm-hmm. and you don't want to feed it.
Mm-hmm.
So is the better solution to ignore it?
I ignore it, like politics. Like, I'll go through, read my little headlines just to stay current, just in case I got to, like, have a conversation with somebody. But I don't buy into it. You know, when I'm manifesting in the morning and I'm looking at that beautiful home, what's politics got to do with that? You know what I'm saying? When I'm thinking about, like, my finish line, or if I'm thinking about my deathbed, like, and I, like, those thoughts are going to go through my head of, like, what I accomplished, what I was proud of, what I didn't accomplish. Like, those stupid things don't add up to that. Like, so there's only a few things that are really going to matter in this lifetime when it's all said and done. And so I just try to shift my energy there. But, like, when something bad happens, like, I'm human. Like, I throw my tantrum. I have my bad days, but I treat it like a cold, you know, like when you get a cold. Obviously a shitty situation, but you know it's going to last about 7 days. And so I'm like, all right, I'm just going, like, kind of treat it like a cold. Like, it's going to be like my little 7 days, and then I'm going to get back up, and then it's time to get through this. Like I have my times where I get extremely frustrated, but there's, like, really weird things. I don't know how I've managed to do it. I haven't figured out the pattern. But, like, when I get extremely frustrated, I manifest really fast. I'm talking about miracles. I'm talking about if somebody tells me to, like, be realistic because I'm trying to accomplish something and I get furious, like, things speed up for me. I don't know how. I don't know why, but, like, you don't have to be kumbaya. I'm very passionate and intense. So I get frustrated. I get angry. But it's not anger for, like, a low frequency. It's an anger for, like, don't limit me from trying to be great. So, like, things really do manifest quickly there. But no, like, it's okay to have shitty ass days. It's okay to, like, go through that. Just treat it like a cold. Like, all right, it's going to last a week. Like, let's not stay here for years. Some people stay there for years. They become addicted to it. But once again, I'll pull out my journal. I'll start manifesting the future. Go to the future. The future is such a happy place. The past is, like, obviously there's good memories, but there's a lot of bad shit. The current, there's a lot of bad shit too. The future is all possibilities.
Yeah.
So.
You can affect your own future.
Absolutely.
Make it happen.
Absolutely.
So what are the mechanics of that? You know, you talk about manifestation and mm-hmm. the quantum physics about mm-hmm. it. Is there an easy way to break that down?
Yeah, there is. Kindergarten teacher style. I'll, like, explain this in the simplest way. There's traditional physics, which is right, you know, and then there's, you know, like a quantum physics, which is a modern science that is just in the past 100 years. When the scientists first discovered it, It was kind of mind-boggling because everything in this world, this table, me, you, this, made up of photons. It's basically little particle, like atoms, protons, but photons, smallest form of matter there is. And in traditional physics, you would look at a photon as a, let's call it a marble, a little ball, a little solid ball. For example, remember in physics class, you had the little thing with the little going around it. They called it a piece of matter. Now, they took this photon and they shot it at a wall that had two slits in it. Okay? It's called the double slit test. They shot it at this wall and it went through both holes. But a marble can't do that. But if you were to drop a marble in water and a wave came off of that marble, could that wave go through two different doors? Absolutely. Because a wave, if I were to drop a wave in a pond, that wave is going to end up over there and over there. It's just what a wave does. It just expands and goes like this, where the marble is in one place. So this was the interesting thing. One, a particle is not only matter. It is a wave. Part two is where things got really trippy. So they're running a science experiment. So they tried different things. They put an instrument to detect just on one of the holes. You got this wall, has two slits in it. So let's say this is a slit right here, and this is a slit right here, okay? I throw this marble, and it went through both of these. But then they took this camera, and they put it just here. So basically, they put intention. That's what the camera represents. It's really magical and mysterious and metaphysical. They put a camera right here just to look at this slit. They shot this marble at this wall, and it was going through both as it was acting as if a wave. When they put this camera here, it only went through this. They're like, hold on. How is this possible? Now, this is where the law of attraction is kind of proven by science. When human attention looks here, it goes here. Close the human eye, shoot it, goes through both. It acts as a wave until you focus on something. They put the camera here, shot it, it went through here. They removed it, closed their eyes, boom, went through both. So everything in this world, to bring it full circle, everything in this world is made up of photons. Everything. Everything in this world.
Energy, in other words, right?
100%. 99.999999% energy, 0.00001% matter. Don't quote me on this math. I might have missed a couple zeros. But what fascinated me about this is everything, when you look at this as possibility, it could be over there and over there until the human focus gives it attention. Then it defines what it is. It was all of them. It was in all these places until you define where you look. And that is where I've experienced so much magic, but most all successful people have. When you give your attention to something and you believe and you tune your heart and you tune your frequency, you're able to attract a possibility that already existed in the quantum field, and it materializes in this three-dimensional world. The three-dimensional world is real. The metaphysical quantum field is also real. That's the crazy thing. I can't see gravity, but I know it's real. It's there. And the quantum physics is so new and so mysterious and so magical that we haven't fully wrapped our heads around it. But there will be a day where they probably invent a camera that can see what's between us. Like right now, there's songs flying in between you and I. There's thousands of phone conversations flying in this air. And what's beautiful about the manifestation part of it, songs on the radio or Sirius satellite are flying, but we can't hear them until you get a receiver. Now, a traditional radio is called a receiver. And somehow, when it's tuned to the right frequency, it's able to pull something out of the air and not miss a note, which is kind of witchcrafty. Like, we look at a radio as kind of old school, but if we were to go back a few hundred years, they would, think this is witchcraft. So this little box is pulling something out of the air. Well, how's the song in the air and I can't hear it? How is this radio able to hear this thing that's in the air that's invisible and doesn't make a sound? Like, we don't even hear a little bit of the song right now. But when this radio tunes to the same frequency, it's able to pull it out of thin sight and it's able to play it. It's the same thing with us. Mm. What we want is already up there. It already exists. It's already a possibility. It's already written. But when we tune ourselves to the exact frequency, not 0.5 off, if we're playing 99.7 and we're on 99.5, you don't hear the song at all. You have to be on the same exact frequency. Has to resonate. Has to resonate. Vibes, frequency, resonate. When it matches, it's able to take this invisible thing, and that is a real song. It's not a myth. It's not witchcraft. It's not magic. That song is flying through the air, and this box hears it and then plays it. Same thing with us. Same thing with our dreams. Same thing with what we want to manifest. When we tune our frequency to it, it becomes real because it was always there. We just couldn't see it.
Well, you're blowing my mind right now. That was a great explanation, too. I've heard that explained a few different ways, but I like the way you did that. You know, there's a lot of information on manifestation and everything.
Yeah.
And most people are not able to make it happen. What are they doing wrong?
Belief. I told you I'm a delusional optimist. Delusional is key. Delusional is just like so much belief that like you're kind of stepping outside of reality, which is a great thing to do. When you believe and you tune your heart, I will tell somebody that this is going to happen and it's going to happen fast. And I'm going to put a date on it. I'm going to be like, next 24 hours. They might look at me and they might be like, Charlie, you're crazy. And I'm like, all right, good. Because I'm believing enough. And then when they tell me I'm crazy, now I'm even more tuned. I'm like, watch. And it happens. And it happens magically. Like I'm talking about when I wanted to be a Nike athlete, I wanted to make a fan-made Nike commercial. And to make an actual Nike commercial, like Nike quality, minimum budget, like if you were to hire a local agency and do a small Instagram commercial, minimum budget like 60 grand. And I wanted to make one. But I actually wanted to make like a world-renowned fan-made Nike commercial to try to get Nike's attention. So I started calling my buddies in Hollywood. And I'm like, all right, this is what I'm looking for. Looking for a filmmaker who can shoot, edit, color grade, score, and make an original like Hans Zimmer type song, who owns his own equipment, and my budget is a couple grand. So I started talking to my buddies in Hollywood. They're like, Charlie, like, you're being unrealistic. Like, one person isn't going to do all those jobs. Like, the person who shoots a lot of time doesn't edit. The person who edit definitely doesn't make music. And the person who does color grading, there's only a few people of those in this city. And that's an expensive job. They're like, Charlie, you're not going to find this person. Now, this is where I told you earlier, like, when my frustration gets tuned, like, I manifest really fast. So I was out to dinner at Gracias Madres with one of John Legend's managers, asking him to introduce me to somebody who might be able to find me this videographer. I'm going to make this commercial. I'm going to. The guy told me, not John Legend's manager, the guy who we were meeting with said, Charlie, like, you're not going to find this person, not at that budget. I said, don't tell me I can't do something. He said, you need to be realistic. I said, nothing I've done my entire life has been realistic. I hate those words. Don't tell me that. I got up from the meeting. I walked outside. And my friend, who's John Legend's manager, like, is out there. And he's like, yeah, Charlie, you should calm down. I said, I'm not going to calm down. I said, watch. I'm going to find this videographer and I'm going to find him tomorrow. I swear to God. Tomorrow. Fast forward. I'm sitting in my living room in Santa Monica. I got through my little frustration phase, and I went straight magical. Got my notebook, my quantum possibilities notebook, and I wrote down, today is the day, I search slash found, my videographer slash editor. It's done, exclamation mark. It's easy, exclamation mark. An hour later, my roommate walks in the front door. Behind him is a videographer with like this big Steadicam rig. I'm thinking to myself, this is odd. Why does my roommate have a videographer? He's like an accountant at like Whole Foods. I'm like, why is a cameraman following Morgan? And I look at this guy and I said, this is odd. I was like, you do video stuff? And the first thing out of his mouth was like the most negative thing. He's like, yeah, but nobody ever pays me. I'm like, okay, can I see your work? I pulled up the laptop, pulled up his little website. He had a short film on there. And I said to him, I said, did you shoot this? He's like, yeah, I shot it. I said, do you own your own equipment? He said, yeah, I'm kind of like a hoarder. Like anytime I make money, I just buy equipment. I said, do you have your own lighting? He said, yeah, I got my own lighting. I said, you got your own lenses? Yeah, I got anamorphic, cinematic. I got all these lenses. I'm like, I said, who did the editing on this short film? He said, I edited it. I said, who did the scoring on this film? Because, you know, the sound effects, it's like a real film. He's like, well, like you hear that sound effect. Like I took like two flip flops and like I mixed it. I said, hold on, you mix? He said, yeah, mix and master audio. I was like, well, who did the music on here? He said, well, I used to be in a rock band. We were on the Warped Tour. We had a record deal, but like the label dropped us. I said, so you did the color grading too, I'm guessing? He said, yeah, I taught myself DaVinci. He walked in my front door, bro.
Oh, wow.
He walked in my front fucking door. I wrote this in my notebook. I showed him. I said, I wrote that I was going to find. I said, can I hire you? He said, man, I need a job. Hulu didn't. I interviewed at Hulu last week. They didn't hire me. I said, bro, I want to make a fan-made Nike commercial. He was like, you're crazy. I said, I know. He was like, let's try. I was like, this is what I want to do. I asked him, can you make like Hans Zimmer type music, like with the strings? He said, absolutely. Man, I asked him what the budget would be to make this. He said, $600. We made a fan-made Nike commercial. Nike saw it 3 days after we released, got millions of views with just my 10,000 followers, got millions of views. Nike flew me up to Beaverton, Oregon, signed me as a Nike athlete, and me and Nike created the biggest Nike commercial of all time, the Colin Kaepernick commercial, which was named after me, called Dream Crazy, and I wrote in my notebook, I'll find my videographer.
Wow.
Swear
that
to
is
God.
This incredible.
Is a true story. You can't make this up. It just really happened. It really happened. And this is why I was saying that energy, that tune into the frequency, that being frustrated, that believing that tomorrow I'm going to find him. Did I find him? No. He found me. He walked in my front door.
Well, you attracted him somehow, and that happened super fast. And that reminds me of a guy named Maxwell Maltz who wrote Psycho-Cybernetics. Mm. And one of the things he talks about is going to sleep. He's got a pre-bed ritual mm-hmm. about setting an intention and writing down if it's a problem you need to solve or something to happen. Mm. You go to sleep at night and let your subconscious work on this problem. Mm. Do you do something similar? Like when you're trying to manifest super fast, is there something that you do before you go to bed?
Unintentionally. Like I was telling my business partners yesterday, I was like, you want to know how you know what's how much somebody cares about something? I said, show me their text messages at 7 a.m. Show me their text messages at 9 p.m. I could tell you how bad somebody wants something from those two things. Give me your phone. Me? Like the second I'm waking up, I'm manifesting. 9 o'clock at night, like I'm still like thinking about this. So I'm subconsciously doing that. It would be awesome if I like wrote it down, put it under my pillow, put a little crystal right there, go to sleep. Like I should do that. That sounds great. I'd probably be better at what I do if I did that. But unlike I say probably a lot of like very motivational people, it's like I'm not consistent. I'm all over the place. I can't do the same routine every morning. I'll wake up early this day. I'll sleep in this day. Like my name's Charlie. It means free man. I'm all over the place and it works. So like, you know, I don't do the same thing every day, but the one common thing I do is I dream every day. It's just like a all day thought process.
Is there something you've been trying to manifest that hasn't happened yet?
Absolutely. I would love to have a billionaire let me use his beach home while he's not using it. I want to be on the beach in Malibu flushing his toilets for him while he's in Paris. That would be fun. But those are crazy, like, little specific things I manifest. Next time I come on, I'll be like, yeah, billionaire lets me, like, borrow his house. I'm on the balcony, you know, Malibu.
Well, you put it out there. Maybe it'll happen.
It would be fun to manifest, like, I've been manifesting this for a while. So, like, you know how, like, Drake had Wayne, you know, Biggie had Diddy, you know, Kanye had Jay-Z. I've always wanted, like, Richard Branson's, like, a big bro. Like, to build, like, an ecosystem up underneath. Like, love the way his brain works. Definitely want to go hang out on the little island. But at the end of the day, like, working with Richard Branson seems pretty freaking cool. So that's something I'm manifesting. But I manifest a lot of things, man.
Yeah, and Branson is a guy who really shows up in a big way. And he's always positive and full of energy. And, you know, as far as a personal brand goes, you know, I love what he's doing and what he's built, of course, you know, the Virgin Empire. It's absolutely amazing. You said you don't write everything down, but I know you've got this book of possibilities, I think you call it, or something like that. Talk to me about that. How does that work?
I mean, it's just magic, man. Like, when I look at my book, I don't look at paper. I look at, like, magic. My pen is my magic wand. And when I write something, I'm like, almost like Harry Potter tingly. Like, I created myself, but it's like, I think about it in those terms of, like, when I write this, it's going to come true. And so much magic has happened. I wrote in that book, I was going to be in a commercial with LeBron and Serena. Like, very specific things. Just like, I'm going to be on a billionaire's. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, very specific things. Goofy or deep or not goofy or selfish or for the world. Like, I just write everything that I want because I honestly believe that I deserve to have the most of everything. Because if I'm meant to, like, be on this earth and inspire people and give back to others, like, why not leave a blueprint on how to live a very interesting life? Like, I wrote this down, boom, came true. I did this, boom, we were able to help more people. So it's like, that's what I wake up and do. Like, I dream every day, and I lead by example, but then I reach my hand back and help other people dream every day.
Well, it seems like the things that you dream for are really the resources that will allow you to pay it forward to help more people.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Do you remember the moment that you had the power to make anyone's dreams come true?
I remember the first one. The first one I really did. Well, I did do a lot back in the music industry with 2 Chainz. We were giving away houses and cars, but I was, like, very behind the scenes. But when I started doing what I'm doing with the Dream Machine Tour, I started when I was biking across America. So I was biking from LA to New York. And I wanted to help people along the way. And so since we're biking, I told my business partner, I was like, we probably need to get a bus to sleep in. So we got a bus, and then my manager was like, all right, Charlie, like, do you want a picture of yourself on the bus? And I was like, oh, no, that's cringy. Like, I don't want, like, my face on the bus. I was like, what if the bus was for, like, the people? I was like, what if everybody wrote their dreams all over the bus? And then we came up with the title, like, Dream Machine. And so we started the first Dream Machine tour across the United States, 2018. And when we got to Phoenix, the teachers were on strike, which was really weird in America. Teachers never leave their kids. You know what I'm saying? Like, teachers don't go on strike. But they, like, went on strike. They left the kids. They're, like, marching. The whole city is marching. This is as we're biking into Phoenix. And, like, I was like, we need to try to see if we can help a teacher because they're not getting paid anything. That's why they were on strike. You got, like, 50-year-old full-time school teachers getting paid $20,000 a year. Like, having to be roommates with their, like, sister-in-law. Like, it's, like, crazy. I'm like, this doesn't make any sense. These people work long hours, obviously 8 hours during the day, then, like, grading assignments all night. Like, they work hard. So we found this teacher. Her name was Miss Rosa. She was actually a pre-K teacher. So she wasn't on like a salary. She got paid by the hours she worked. So when they were on strike, she wasn't getting paid like everybody else was. So she had it even worse. And so she had cancer, wasn't getting paid, behind on her mortgage, and hadn't been able to see her kids in California because she didn't have a good car to be able to like go on a road trip. And so I called a billionaire friend of mine, Ayman Hariri, Lebanese man. His father was the prime minister of Lebanon, and his brother is the prime minister of Lebanon. And they're a very wealthy, wealthy family. And I gave him a call, and I told him about Miss Rosa. And he said, what will fix the situation? I said, maybe we'll give her, you know, 10 grand, you know, help her with the rent. He said, Charlie, what will fix the situation? And I wasn't thinking big enough. He was thinking bigger than me. I was like, all right, maybe we give her 20 grand or maybe we give her a car. He said, Charlie, what will fix the situation? And I was like, well, like the situation is this. She's having trouble with rent. She's doing chemotherapy right now. She's only missed one day of school during chemotherapy. She doesn't have a car, et cetera, et cetera. Ayman came in, paid off her house, paid off all her medical bills, bought her a brand new car, minivan, so she can go visit her family, visit her kids. And it was just like, wow, that was the first one. Okay, I think I'm on a path that's like meant to be really big. And since then, I mean, we've toured across the United States maybe like 5 or 6 times. We've, you know, raised and given away maybe close to $10 million. We've helped thousands and thousands of people, made dreams come true. There's been little girls with rare diseases that wanted to start a cookie company. And in 2 weeks, we built a cookie company and sold 130,000 cookies in a week. Raised her $500,000. There was a homeless artist here in L.A. He was on the street. Outside of the Ralphs on Sunset, we launched him a business selling his art. Oprah bought a painting. Steve Harvey bought a painting, along with about 8,000 other people bought paintings and did about $350,000 in a week. We've done lots of crazy things for people and their dreams, natural disasters, and just like I've been on a really big path, and I get these signs. Oh. Talk about signs. Let me tell you about Miss Rosa. Hold on. You get the signs that you're on the right path. As I was walking up to the school with Miss Rosa, we're about to present to her the news, like we're surprising her in her classroom. My friend walked up to me and said, Charlie, do you know what today is? I said, no, because we've been working on this for about a week. We didn't know when Ayman's check was hitting that we were going to present. We were coordinating with the news. There was like all these variables that were like delaying things or like it just happened to be everything came together on this one day. And my friend walked up to me and he said, Charlie, like this is really trippy. Today is National Teacher Appreciation Day. I said, get the fuck out of here. I said, there's no way. Like you would have thought we planned it. Same thing happened like a month ago. We were helping this kid with leukemia. Tevi, and when we started on the dream, it was National Leukemia Awareness Month. Like, how do you, like we get all these signs that we're on the right path, which is just very magical. I love those confirmations, and that's why I keep going, because I get all the signs, and it's just, alignment is 1 + 1 = 1,000 or a million. You know, like, when it's so synergistic, it's like, math is right. 1 + 1 = 2. That is true. But why not believe 1 + 1 = 1,000 as well? Mm. Like, obviously, like traditional math, that's not right, but it's just like traditional physics and quantum physics. Like traditional physics says this is solid. And it's right. It is solid. Quantum physics says, no, this is waves and energy. And it's right too. Both can exist at the same time.
You've helped dozens of people, maybe hundreds directly, mm-hmm. and then probably maybe millions indirectly. When you think about this and put this all together, what does that all mean to you? Is there a life lesson there?
It'll be interesting to see if this can translate to shifting culture. That's really what I'm going to try to do. Because what if an 8-year-old who's watching our TikToks wants to make a life decision. Like, I wanted to play basketball because I saw Allen Iverson. I was like, I saw it, and I was like, ooh, let me go try that. You know, it was like, it was cool. So, like, sometimes you just need to see something to know that that's a possibility. You know, that's very inspirational watching somebody. How many people want to be, you know, YouTubers because of Mr. Beast? You know, how many people want to help people because of Mr. Beast? You know, like little kids. You know, what if we added to that? What if we showed people that, like, getting with your friends and, like, changing lives can be a path you take in life? Starting a nonprofit can be fun, not just, like, some, like, formal, you know, feel-good thing to do, but, like, actually, like, the most fun thing you can do as well. So, like, we're trying to just show culture and shift culture, because when I got into the hip-hop business, hip-hop was a much different place from when I started to when I left. And I helped usher in the viral era of hip-hop. Like, I started off with Soulja Boy. Like, we invented viral. We built YouTube. Like, we were the first ones vlogging. We didn't call them vlogs. Somebody else named it a vlog. But we were the first ones doing it. And, you know, like, we shifted culture. We changed things. Like, hip-hop was a very small industry. And now it's the biggest genre that's ever existed. Like, pop was always the biggest genre. Like, you know, Justin Bieber, Taylor's, you know, just pop music, Mariah Carey. Pop music always dominated the charts. And the biggest pop music was 49% market share of the music industry revenue. And in 2019, that changed for the first time. Hip hop, 70% market share. Biggest genre, not by a little bit, the biggest genre by far. Like, it swallows up every other genre. And that's because, like, we the people create hip-hop. Like, kids create hip-hop, not big corporations, not big marketing budgets. Just kids recording and putting out music. It's like the people made it big. So with philanthropy, can that happen? Can I usher in the viral era of philanthropy? Same way I ushered in the viral era of hip-hop. Can there be the people who make good news spread as fast as bad news? People are craving it. Somebody told me a stat the other day. Like, as much as we pay attention to bad things in this world, they dominate the news, they dominate our attention. But for every bad thing that happens, there's 19,000 good things that happen.
Yes, there is. That's a great takeaway. And so you're continuing that with the Dream Machine Foundation. Mm-hmm. I know you're building a new center, everything. Tell me about what's going on with the foundation.
Well, we're really at this place that's like, it's never been done before. Like, I want to create a movement so much bigger than me. Like, we're starting with the Dream Factory that we're building right now, which is LA's first social good social club. Like, we're like amazing, cool people come together to go change the world. But also, like, it's not, this is how I look at philanthropy. Like people might stop what they're normally doing to go, like, help people. And then they act different when they do. Like, it's like, okay, this is my normal life. Like, I go to the club at night. But then when I help people, like, I'm a totally different person. Like, people act different when they go to church, right? It's like, it's like a separate. I'm trying to create one. Be yourself. Have fun. Be around cool people. Go change lives while you're having fun around cool people. And create a movement based on that. To where I want to empower creators. I want to empower, like, big-hearted people to want to be a part of this movement and to change lives and have it, like, accelerate their careers, you know, financially, you know, to where, like, if you're a creator and you come in to the Dream Team, like, brands want to work with you more because you're changing lives. Like, there's nothing wrong with that. So it's like you're helping people and you're having the time of your life. And you're creating more business opportunities for yourself. And you've got this environment. Like, we're offering these amenities to creators, because what if I can take every creator And instead of just having influence, like really showing them how to have impact with that. Mm. Everybody wants to help. People just don't know where to start. It's confusing. Like, it's easy to like imagine like, okay, we're going to go feed homeless people just because you know where they are. You know, like, okay, I can see them. But like, if you want to go help a kid with cancer right now, it's too high of a barrier of entry to get started. So me and my team, we source everything and then we're going to start plugging in. Okay, you go help this kid. You go here, help this elderly person. You go, boom, this person lost their dog. Go deliver this puppy to them. You know, like all those type of things. But really, I want to scale it beyond me. I want to create the Dream 100. It starts with 100 people across the country. I want Dream Machines. I want Dream Factories. Next Dream Factory is going to be in Miami. You know, we might open up one in Tokyo. We might open up one in England. You know, like, you know, Dream Factories all over the world.
So the Dream Factory is a resource for creators to come and create things that, you know, have a social purpose in it. Is this a place then where, because I know you were talking about having a podcast studio, three podcast studios. What other sort of facilities are there? And is there, like, what does it take to become a part of that? Is there a membership cost? Is this subsidized completely by the foundation?
Completely subsidized by corporations, not the foundation. When these people come in, we're very selective of who's a part of the Dream Team. But, like, it's our close friends that, like, have good hearts. And then that grows. But we're very selective who can be a part of this, like, social good, social club. But, like, in there, it's like we'll do daily yoga and sound baths for our people. So you don't have to pay to go to that yoga class at your gym. We're going to have an entire, like, meditation room with, you know, red light therapy and ice baths and infrared saunas that have, like, all the top-end stuff that, like, low EMFs and, you know, really creating these podcast studios to where you can record your podcast, you can heal, meditate, you can come to our events, you can then, after you've done all this, you hit the streets with us, go change lives, you know, and then you start networking with the other people, start collaborating, start building businesses together. You know, we're assembling dreamers together. When you assemble dreamers together, the world changes. Like, it's not a party at this point. Everything we're talking about is our dreams. I could ask you what you do, and I could know a little bit about you. But if I asked you your dream, I know you're on like a soul level and we'll have a connection. Like, that's the beautiful thing about dreams. We're going to take LA, which is the city of angels. Don't see many angels. And we're going to actually make the identity of this city a city where if you're not from here and you think about coming to LA, I want you to think like, wow, that's a city of like where people's dreams come true and where the whole city supports other people and their dreams. I know we can do that.
That's incredible. Yeah. And if you can use me as a resource, I'm volunteering.
All right, there you go. All right now.
And then you've got the Dream Machine Tour.
Yep.
The bus, the RV that you've got going around the country. Is that an ongoing thing?
Yeah. So, and just about a month ago, I was in Dubai doing a speech in Sharjah, which is an emirate next to Dubai, doing a speech for the government. And, man, I'm on a camel, like having the time of my life. And I saw the news that the hurricane hit in Florida. One of the worst hurricanes, the most deadliest hurricane that's hit in Florida in almost 100 years. And so immediately I left. I left Dubai, flew straight to Florida, had my team get on the bus, drive straight across the country. We touched down in Florida, and we started helping those hurricane victims. So it's like we tour usually once a year, but when there's natural disasters, we'll leave L.A., go straight there. I might find a dream in San Francisco. We'll go up to San Francisco. So, like, I love touring. That's all I know. It's what I've been doing since I was in music, since I was a kid. 17 years old, I was on tour. So it's like, I love it. I left the music game, but, like, I'm really doing almost the same exact thing.
How do you find the dreams?
Sometimes it's magical. And, like, we'll, like, stumble across the person. You know, other times, like, we have somebody on our team named Hunter, and he's like our dream hunter. But we're looking all day, every day. Like, we're always seeing who needs a miracle. And, like, the other day when we were in Florida, there was this gentleman who had lost his home in the hurricane, and he was living behind, in a tent behind the food bank. And we get sent at divine times. Because the food bank also had damage. So the insurance adjusters were coming in. And the food bank owner was like supporting the person living behind the food bank. Was like, the insurance adjuster's coming. We can't have somebody like living in a tent. So now he's not just homeless. Now he's being kicked out from behind the food bank. And that just happened to be the day we found him. And we surprised him with $10,000 so he can start rebuilding. And he was just like, man, like, I had nowhere to go. They made me pack up my tent. I had nowhere to go. And then y'all just showed up. Like, obviously, I wish we could do that for everybody. But, like, for him, like, there was a lot of just, like, God involved, you know, in that situation.
And where does this $10,000 come from? Do you raise money? Kind of, I've seen you out there on social. There's a specific thing. You'll say, okay, donate to this thing. Like, when you did the music room down in, I think it was Watts or something like that.
School.
Yeah, of course.
Really? That was like one of the first things we did during the pandemic. No, that was the first thing we did during the pandemic.
You're doing this big fundraising. Yeah. All these people came out to pitch in. Do you fundraise per project or do you have kind of this war chest that you can dole out?
Both. So like we always like giving our fans direct funds and then we have our like foundation fund. I call that like the keep the lights on fund. Sometimes people want to know exactly where their money's going. So like, for example, like with the hurricane victims, we launched a direct fund because a lot of people, they're like, I donate to nonprofits, but I don't really know where the money's going. And I get that. So I'm like, all right, we set up direct funds. And so we raised $260,000 in a couple weeks for the hurricane victims. 260 comes in, 260 goes out. But then we have other donors who are like, I love what y'all do. Keep doing it. Like, I hire all, like, young people who are, like, positive, and I'm able to give them, like, career paths. I never get paid from my foundation. But, like, I love being able to hire young people and give them a choice. Like, you could work for this nonprofit, do something super positive, or you could, like, go, like, have another job that just isn't. So it's fun hiring young people and setting them on this life path. I do it because it's just a passion. But for them, giving somebody a career is great. So we have, like, our foundation fund, which, like, donors donate to that to make sure the foundation, you know, keeps its lights on, able to hire people, able to grow. But I always give people the options. Like, when we support, like, a kid with cancer or, like, Lila with her cookies, it's like, that's all her money. We don't take a penny. And so then we show other people, like, look at what we do, donate to the foundation. We don't market that, but those are the conversations behind the scenes.
So for those of us who are inspired by your work, the foundation's work, how do we get involved in that? How do we support?
Well, one, if you're in LA, come find me. Sometimes you got to, like, be persistent, but, like, if you truly want to be a part of it, come find me. Like, Neve, who's over here, she's from London. She's now our head of content. She would DM all the time being like, I want to intern. I want to intern. I'm like, you're in London. She's like, I'll come to LA. I'll get an Airbnb for a month. I just want to. Like, she was just passionate about it. And now she's our head of content, marketing, and PR. Like, she worked her way all the way to the top. She was just passionate. But if you can't do all that, you want to get involved, just donate to somebody we're helping. There's usually about one or two people a week. We launch fundraisers. I mean, it's a massive impact. Like, we've been able to, like, launch fundraisers and in one day raise 75 grand for a little girl with cancer. Like, it's crazy. It's crazy how, like, the power of social media can be so impactful on people's lives. Like, we're building this, like, army of love. You know, all of our fans, we call them the army of love. And, like, they just can't wait to see who the next person we're helping is. Like, how do I get involved? Oh, I'm donating to that one. Because, you know, people feel different things. You might see this story and it doesn't really resonate. You see this one, it's like, oh, I have to donate. So we just encourage people to just step up and help.
Yeah, some things closer to their hearts than others. Mm-hmm. I get it. Is there a website to go to where you can find out more, learn about the events, donate.
Yep. DreamMachineUSA.com and our socials, DreamMachineUSA on Instagram, at Charlie on Instagram and TikTok.
At Charlie.
Mm-hmm.
There's a story there. How did you get Charlie?
You know, it's the power of words once again. I had a dream one night that I was like running for president. I don't want to run for president, but it was a dream. I was running for president in my dream, and I saw the yard sign, and it was just first name, just Charlie for president, no last name, like Oprah, right? And I called my business partner Scott, and I was like, one day I think I'm gonna have like this like first name basis name, just Charlie. And then the next day after I said that, I got a DM from this employee at Instagram. Her name was Fadia. She was from the music industry originally in Atlanta, and she'd been watching my journey. And she just DM'd me. She said, "I got a gift for you." And I was like, "What is it?" She said, "It's a surprise." And then she just like sent me a DM. She was like, "Change your username to this." And it was just at Charlie. And I called my business partner, Scott, back. And I was like, "Bro, I had just told you this yesterday. And now I look at my Instagram." And then similar thing with TikTok. Not quite as magical. But I wasn't on TikTok. But this kid DM'd me. And he was like, "I got the name Charlie. Like, do you want it?" I was like, "Hell yeah." I was like, "I don't use TikTok. But hell yeah." He said, "I'll sell it to you for $1,000." I said, "I'll take it." He just gave it to me.
Wow.
For $1,000. And now I got 7 million followers on TikTok. I'm a TikToker.
Even though you didn't like it.
Yeah, I was definitely in resistance to TikTok. I was like, I constantly have to rewrite my own rules because, like, theory, like, I'm 34. Like, TikTok is, like, below my generation. And at first I was resistant of it until I realized that you could use it for good, not just like dancing. When I learned the power that it could for like helping people, I was like, all right, like I got to look at this more often. I got to look at everything as a possibility because I got to constantly rewrite my rules too. Because like you don't win, you know, the new war by using the old war strategy. You got to think, like, in war, they used to, like, hide behind, like, I mean, they used to stand in a field and, like, look at each other and, like, shoot the gun at each other. Like, that was the war strategy. I'm like, that's so dumb. Somebody decided to, like, hide behind a tree one day and be like, pew, you know, like, that's a new war strategy, you know, not maybe as commendable, you know, but that's, like, ego. But, like, you know, when trying to, like, navigate the new age, it's like you got to, like, pay attention to the kids. You got to.
Yeah.
And so I had to, like, once again, navigate, okay, how can we usher in the new age of, like, philanthropy? You got to go with the kids.
Yeah, and if you got a message, you've got to go where the audience is, right? You can't, you know, you might have a good message and a good platform, but if you're screaming in the forest where there's nobody to listen, then it's not going to take off. But like you said, you know, if you're here to inspire the kids, if that's your audience and they're on TikTok, then you got to go there. You can fight it all you want, but you got to go to where the attention is, right?
Exactly.
All right, Charlie, last question. Mm-hmm. What is your big dream? Where do you see Charlie 5-10 years from now? What kind of impact has he made?
The first thing is to go beyond me and to really make this a movement. Movements are inspiring to me because it's no longer about the person. Like if I look at like a Christianity or any religion, like it no longer needed Jesus like to be alive. Like it just went and still going. I mean, 2,000 years later, you know, Buddhism still going. Buddha ain't nowhere to be found. You know, like, that's inspiring to me. You know, the democracy, for example, is like a movement. Like, yeah, the people who created it, they don't need to be here anymore for it to go on. And I would love for my movement and for what we're creating to spread. I want to really utilize YouTube. I really think that YouTube is going to be massive. for what we're creating, especially now that they're doubling down on like short form content. So probably the next time we talk will probably be one of the biggest movements YouTube's ever seen. I'm talking about like bigger than anything we've seen before, because YouTube in the past has relied on an individual. I'm going to attack YouTube from a movement perspective. It's going to go way beyond me. So I'm predicting biggest YouTube channel in the world.
Anybody can make that happen. It's going to be you.
It'll be fun. It'll definitely be fun laying a new path on something that's been around for, you know, 14 years, but still early. YouTube's still early. Definitely want to create, you know, a social movement in the physical, you know, where the Dream Factory is all over the world. Dream Machines all over the world. Creators all over the world having a new path with their content, to where you can do what you do, but also, you know, change lives with what you do. Because every creator can have their angle. You know, I want to convert as many people, you know, from only just like having their influence, but I want to show them ways of creating impact with it. That's something I'm really passionate about. But yeah, man, I got health goals. Bro, next time you see me, man, I'm going to be down like 50 pounds. I've struggled with that. It's been up and down, but like every day I try. And yeah, man, like, let's shake up the world with love and dreams, man. That's all I want to do. Let's see what happens. I'm manifesting it every day. Next time we sit back here, we'll revisit this.
I can see it happen.
Yeah.
We're going to put that quantum physics thing, and I'm going to put some intention behind that and help you.
There we go. Appreciate it, man.
All right, Charlie, I want to thank you for sharing with me today. Keep that winning streak alive.
If it ends, it means I'm dead.
All right. And special thanks to Neve.
Neve!
And stay tuned here for more amazing guests right here on Hollywood Reel. See ya.
My man. Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks, Charlie.